Welcome to the Not Safe for Work Photography Podcast, where we explore the art and business of erotic photography. Today, we're interviewing Jeremy from Artistic Edge, RJC, and the host of the Hot AF Model Weekends. Jeremy was recommended to me by Jimmy Changa again. Thanks, Jimmy. How are you doing today, Jeremy?
I'm living the dream.
I don't know what the dream is, actually.
Well, and you got to be careful with those dreams because sometimes they're nightmares.
They turn in that way frequently, don't they?
Occasionally.
I actually do.
Keep life interesting, though.
Yeah. I've thought about the dream. I've decided that when I retire, I want to buy a building, and I want to run a rock shop downstairs, like a mineral store, like a crystal store, and a game shop. And those are going to be on the bottom floor. And then the top, I'm going to make into a badass studio and rent out the studio.
There you go.
So that's the dream. I'm not living that dream yet.
Well, you know, it's good to have hopes and dreams, right?
Yeah, I just combine all my hobbies into one place and I'll just go there and spend all day, and that'll keep my wife happy because I'm out of the house.
Hey, I've always been told, happy wife, happy life.
All right, let's get into this. We're going to start with where we always start, at the beginning. How did you get into erotic photography?
Well, I guess you really have to go back to when I started photography. I was running around with a girl and she did graphic design, things like that. She had a little boy, wouldn't allow me to help her out, wouldn't accept pity projects, as she called them. So I had car washes at the time, and I said, well, what can we do that you can make money on and you can have something to do that's not a pity project? Mm-hmm. And she decided I needed to do swimsuit calendars for my car washes. Mm-hmm. So we set it all up. I had a buddy of mine that was a photographer. He came, did the photos. Cats and dogs don't even fight like these two did. It was just incredibly bad. And I went to her place one day and she said, come on, we're going to Best Buy. And I was like, okay. So we go to Best Buy. She walks over to the camera. She says, you're buying that. I said, oh, you need a camera. She goes, no, you do. You're going to learn to take pictures. You're going to do the photography for the calendars from here on out. And I'm not dealing with your buddy. Okay. So that's how I got into it. And so, yeah, then it went from that to we started a little localized fashion magazine called You're It, URIT. And we did that for a while. And then we had a falling out, went our separate ways. I wasn't really much into fashion. So I started looking around thinking, man, I got all this stuff. Been doing it. What can I make money at? And lo and behold, I fell into this.
Yeah, I can kind of understand that. That is one of the only versions of photography where you can make money if you're not into weddings and children and stuff like that.
Oh, no, I won't ever do weddings. Now, I made a mistake and got involved in one of those early on. Nope. Nope. Not for that. Not anymore. I even tell relatives, don't talk to me if that's what the question is.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine ask me to take pictures of her and her kids. And I was like, I don't really have any experience in that. I'm sure that they will be well exposed and technically reasonable pictures, but I don't have any experience in the posing and yeah, no thanks.
You know, there have been several times I have had mothers reach out to me. Would you take my daughter's senior pictures? I tell them all the same thing. Now, wait a minute. I want you to step back for a second and think about something. Why would you want your daughter's name attached to me and what I do? Doesn't that sound a little bit irresponsible? I mean, you're wanting to bring your high school daughter. Does that just make any sense at all?
Yeah.
I won't do it. I'm not. But, oh, I've had a couple of them accused me of not doing it because I didn't think their daughters were attractive or I didn't think they were good enough. It had nothing to do with that. You need to be a better parent.
Yeah.
Things never cease to amaze me.
So it looks like you do put a lot of glamour work on your website. Is that your favorite style?
Yeah, it's just It's kind of more fun. I don't know. Yeah, it's just you do what your eye's drawn to, right?
Yeah. Did you kind of know from the start that was what you really wanted to do, or did you end up finding your way there after trying a bunch of different stuff?
You know, as my mom told me years ago, she said, this shouldn't surprise anybody because in sixth grade, when they said, what do you want to do when you grow up? I listed, I want to be a Playboy photographer. So, I mean, I guess I knew back then.
That's hilarious. Yeah. All right. You do, since glamour is your favorite style, you work with a lot of models doing that. Do you have a particular method of finding the models to work with that you that really works for you?
You know, it's, I look around all over the place, and I know some photographers get upset because you're stealing their models, but
What?
really the best way, oh yeah, around Pittsburgh, that's the whole big thing. It's no offense to Pittsburgh photographers that like me, but there's a lot of them that don't because I steal their models. I'm sorry, I didn't know you owned them, but
Well,
yeah, for the most part, that's how I.
how many photographers can afford to keep a model like a like what like a pet? I can't
Oh,
even
no,
understand.
they just, these are, I don't want to badmouth people, but these are
Yeah.
just jealous, petty people. And yeah, they just get upset. And they don't like me because of what I do with my work and I make money on it. And yeah, they all want to do, you know, trade shoots and stuff. And then they get upset because I get better content than they get. Well, you know what? You got to pay to play.
Yeah, definitely heard that's definitely are a bunch of photographers that try and do that, try and do the trade thing for nudes.
Don't have a problem with it. If there's mutual gain, yeah, that's fine. But to just expect it all the time, I don't know. I guess I just look at it more from the business side. But,
All right. So you didn't comment on how you best find them. Do you said you're always keeping an eye out. Are you like looking for them in person? Are you looking on
oh, no, no,
IG? Are there websites you
no.
lose?
That'd be a little weird looking for them in person. At least I think so. But no, I watch IG. You know, I used to use Model Mayhem, but man, that site's really gone downhill. And I have some photographer friends that they'll hit me up and be like, hey, you should check out this girl. And then a lot of the girls I work with over the last few years have hit me up and been like, hey, I have a friend who's interested. And I've actually got quite a few of the models I work with now that started out that way. So there really isn't any one particular thing. It's you cast a net out far and see what you catch.
Yeah, I've been definitely finding that Model Mayhem. There's a ton of people that are on there now that haven't logged in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. You send out a lot of messages and you don't get responses, even for paying work.
Yeah, it just, I mean, years ago it was, I don't know. It seems to have lost its luster, I guess. There's still some people on it and that, but everything comes and goes.
I've really struggled trying to find people on IG. I don't know. I don't know if my search terms are wrong or I just struggle. Is like I tried looking up like hashtags, like Las Vegas models, because I'm going to Las Vegas in a couple months, and I'm just seeing a bunch of vanilla models.
Yeah, I don't know that very many people do hashtags anymore. That's part of the problem. You know, I mean, that used to be a good way to do it. I used to do Pittsburgh models, Philadelphia models, things like that when I would be going somewhere. But yeah, like you said, they just don't really come up anymore. I don't know. It just seems to be OnlyFans has changed a lot of things that way because you get a lot of these girls are more content creators. Not models, so to say. So they don't really look for photographers a lot. They're looking more for people who are content creators that can get them more people on there. At least that's what I'm noticing.
I have actually thought about reaching out to content creators, but yeah, I very rarely see them. Like they'll put model, but I see almost nothing in their IG that implies that they're actually doing any modeling, and they
Yeah, it's just, well, times change. You got to kind of change with them a little bit. And yeah. I mean, I have a Fansly page that I just use it as like a social media. You know, you stumble across some people on there. I got kicked off of OnlyFans, so it's kind
How
of
do you
hard
get
to.
kicked? How do you get kicked off of OnlyFans?
Oh, it was went back when it first started, and they were telling me I had to give up the girls' photo IDs. I didn't feel my stuff to give up. You know, I refused. I was like, that's their personal information. I just don't feel that's mine to give. And I wouldn't give it. And they said, you'll be banned permanently. Well, I got banned permanently because I just didn't feel that was mine to give.
Yeah, that makes some sense.
I mean, I'd be pissed off if somebody gave my driver's license and stuff to a random website. You know, I wouldn't be too
Yeah.
happy about that. I told them I can give you the release forms, but that wasn't good enough. They needed photo IDs and this and that, and I wasn't given it. So.
Yeah, that's interesting because you're right. Given what we're shooting, we do need to save copies of the photo IDs. If it fits into the erotic or could be interpreted as such,
Oh yeah, I have
but
them all, but
yeah,
I feel that's mine to give away.
right, yeah, that when the model gives it to you, she's not expecting you to share it with third parties.
Yeah, that's I just yeah, that'd kind of be like betraying trust. So anyways, yeah, I'm not allowed on there. It doesn't mean I don't have a burner page that, you know, you go and look girls up and follow them to see what they're making on there to see if it's reasonable for you to work with them, you know, if the content's worth what you're gonna pay.
So on that subject, actually, that kind of leads into where I wanted to go next, which is how do you typically lay out boundaries and consent before a shoot, if, especially if you're working with a new model you've never worked with?
Yeah, see, like new models, I just tell them if they're new to modeling, you do what you're comfortable with. Nobody asks to do anything. Then after you get to know them, you know, you just start talking, and everybody's comfort level is different. Nobody has to do anything. We're all adults. You can do what you want. And it just kind of comes around that way. And then a lot of girls have shot stuff here that they don't shoot other places because they know what I'm going to do with it. I'm not going to sell it cheap. And you just build that trust up. And I don't know. I feel kind of honored that some people trust me to that degree. Yeah, it's kind of just you get to know the people. Well, if it's somebody who's doing the stuff openly everywhere, then you just straight up say, hey, I saw on OnlyFans you're shooting, you know, this video, that video. Is that available to be shot? And you go from there.
I've definitely noticed a number of models seem to almost keep separate personas. I've spoken with at least, I mean, I haven't shot with nearly as many models as you, somewhere in the three dozen range. And I've had at least two that after we've shot together once, they've been like, oh, by the way, I also do this. Would you be interested in shooting this? Is that typically the way it goes? You know, as they get more comfortable with a photographer, they share more of the, they expand those boundaries or.
Yeah, that happens a lot. And you know, as we'll get into later, I do this as a business, so to say. And I just can't figure out these girls who don't do what I do, but as soon as I'm talking to someone about a shoot, I jump online, I start Googling their name, I'm looking through OnlyFans, I'm looking through Fansly, I'm searching their social medias, I'm searching photographers they've shot with to see what they're doing with stuff, just to see what they do. And there are so many models that come through here and they're like, oh yeah, I was down at so and so's and I had no idea they were like this and that. And then I have girls that talk to me and they're like, oh, I didn't know you did. Well, why are you reaching out to me if you don't know what I do? You know, I mean, in today's world, we have so much information right at our fingertips. It's not hard to find.
Yeah.
Yeah, that always amazes me that then they'll want to talk about a bad situation they've gotten into. And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, that's going to happen in this business, and it's just you just sometimes have bad people. But there are a lot of them that it's continual and it's out there. It's not hard to find out, but they don't look. I just recently had a girl, she got a hold of me wanting to shoot, and she was going to be in Pittsburgh. And she found me on Model Mayhem. The very first line of my Model Mayhem in my profile says, I'm listed as Pittsburgh, but it says, I am in a small town called Mahaffey, 2 hours from Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh shows up better in searches. She's asking me about shooting, and I said, well, I'm over in a town called Mahaffey. She goes, where's that? And I told her it's 2 hours from Pittsburgh. Oh, I can't travel that far. I thought you were in Pittsburgh. Did you even read my profile? Because the very first line says that.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the like rapid fire machine gun, casting call type stuff that they do, where they just send it out to literally everybody that's there. And then it's almost the way that men tend to do like dating apps, where they'll just send
I've
it out to literally
never been
everybody.
on a dating app, so.
Well, so there were some articles about Tinder about how most men on a dating app just swipe. I don't know what direction. I've been married for too long, so I haven't had to deal with this. But they swipe in whatever direction is yes on like all women, and then when the women respond and they match with some women, then they actually look at the profile and figure out if they like them or not. So I feel like female. I feel like models do the same thing. They send out an email to all of the photographers in the area, and only if a photographer responds are they like, all right, maybe I'll look at their stuff now.
Yeah, I don't know. I tend to do my homework ahead of time, so I'm not wasting my time. And as you saw on my site, I had a bad situation here. I don't ever want that again. So
No.
yeah, I don't know. I learned a hard lesson there. So maybe that's why I do what I do, but
All right. When you approach models for work, if you, especially if you plan on selling the work, how do you choose who to work with? Do you base off their look? Are you looking for a specific body type or facial look? Are you picking it off their boundaries, their pay rate, some combination of these things?
I look at it a lot of different ways. As I said, I'll jump on and try to see if they're selling stuff. And if they're selling things for like $5, well, there really isn't any reason for me to pay them to come and shoot if, it's a business for me too.
Right.
And yeah, if you're selling things for $5, I can't pay you to come here, so I can find someone else. But I tend to look for models that maybe don't have a page, or if they have a page, they don't sell inexpensive. And then you look at the popularity side too. If it's a really popular girl, well, she's going to get you seen by potential customers. So I'm willing to sacrifice if she's selling cheap. Yeah, okay, I'll deal with that because it could get me in front of some buyers that could be looking for someone else. So every case is a different one. I try not to, we all like a certain type of thing, but I'm not trying to sell to me. So I do look at looks, but a lot of the models I work with aren't my typical type, but I know somebody likes them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's interesting, especially the comment about more well-known models that have a following that you're basically, that they're interested already.
Yeah, I can't say everyone that's selling inexpensively on OnlyFans I won't work with. That's not true, because some people just, when you work with them, it's the popular kid in high school thing. Then you become popular as well. So you have to kind of weigh that in too. Everybody wants to be with the cool kids. So yeah, it's kind of a case by case thing. And
Yeah, that makes sense.
sometimes I'll look at it and I'll be like, She's attractive. I'd like to add her to the library because I feel I'm building a library. And yeah, it doesn't hurt to have a book on the shelf.
Interesting. Do you, speaking of books, do you publish or do you focus purely on digital?
No, I'm just digital. Years ago, I used to think that was pretty cool to get in stuff, but I don't know, it never really got me anything, and I don't like to give my stuff away anymore. And a lot of the little MagCloud publications and stuff, they'll want a topless or a nude. I'd rather sell that on my Patreon than give it away, because I mean, and everybody's different. I have a couple friends that are photographers, and they just love being published, and they think that's the greatest thing, and that that matters, and great for them. You know, if that makes them happy, I'm happy for you. It's just not my cup of tea at this time.
Yeah, interesting. Makes sense. All right, so let's move on and start talking about some events. I see that you run events on a fairly regular schedule, it looks like, and I think you've got an event coming up in May, right? What is that?
Yeah. The Hot AF Model Weekend.
Is that a single weekend of the year, or are there multiple Hot AF model weekends?
Last year we only had one because we tried a different concept that it was the model's idea and didn't really go well, so we're not going to discuss that. Now we're back to the normal concept, and we'll do the one that's coming up here in May. And some of the girls have expressed an interest in maybe trying to do one in the fall, so we may try to do a fall one this year. It just depends on the year. I've done as many as four in a year and as few as one in a year. So just kind of depends on my mood a little bit.
That makes that this is one of my verbal tics. I say that makes sense, and I say all right after like every question. I
But
try to
no,
edit a lot of those.
that doesn't make sense.
right,
Yeah,
so
because
what
I'm not building up any consistency. I know that, but you know, it's kind of that stay tuned thing. You know, you gotta have the clickbait.
So, what types of photography goes on at one of these weekend events?
Basically, they're glamour events, and it depends on the style of the model. Some girls only shoot swimsuit lingerie, totally fine. Other girls will shoot topless, some will shoot nude, some will shoot erotic. It's up to the girl, and the photographers come. They pay a small fee to come that just helps pay for food and, you know, keeping the girls here and that. And then they pay the models they want to work with at the rates they have for the weekend. And everybody just kind of does their own thing, and I'm just here to be the coordinator and to clean up afterwards.
So I assume there's an additional charge for working with the models while you're there.
Oh yeah, they have their own rates. You know, whatever style you're going to shoot, whatever their rate is. It's kind of that thing.
Yeah, where you're just connecting people.
Yeah, I'm just the hub for it. But yeah, everybody seems to have a good time, and yeah.
Do you have a specific venue you tend to do it at the same place, or do you
Oh, it's
kind
here at my place all the time. I do construction work for a living. I do masonry work.
of? Mm-hmm.
I've been remodeling my place here. I actually live in an old church.
Whoa.
So yeah, it's
That's
interesting.
kind of cool.
And it's big, so there's lots of different areas in here. And then I own the houses all around me. And I have a little car wash here, and I have an apartment up back behind the car wash that models stay in. And we just kind of use the whole area. I built a beach out back. I have a waterfall. I did a little barn area because we're in the middle of farm country out here. And a couple of my buddies, they're into farming. So they bring down hay bales and stuff, and we stack them around, and we put up wood fences and just kind of make it look like a barn in some spots. I kind of try to keep a lot of variety because nobody wants everything to look the same. So I like to just have different areas for everybody. Yeah. And we all just hang out, and everybody's told we have to all get along and we can't hog an area. We can't just set up shop for the day. Somebody else may want to shoot there too. We got to be nice to each other. And yeah. But to this
Interesting.
point, it's worked out well that way. Everybody seems to have a good time, and I'm pretty proud of this. Everybody that's ever come to one has come back again. We have yet to have a one and done.
One and done.
They've all continued to come back to future events and stuff. I have a guy that came from Phoenix, Arizona a couple years ago, and he's coming back again for this one in May. That's pretty cool to get somebody flying from Arizona to Pennsylvania. And so kind of makes me feel like we're doing something right.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in Pennsylvania. You guys have all the events. Yeah, because I'm in DC area, and it seems like all the events are like, because there's that big studio, Scott Church in Lancaster, and I see a lot of events in like Harrisburg and Allentown and stuff like that. I just see a
Yeah,
ton.
those
I
are
just see a
about 4 hours away from me. That's kind of why I started to do my own, because I got tired of driving so far. I used to get down to Baltimore to events and stuff like that. And I don't know. I kind of like staying at home.
I mean, I guess parts of it make sense. The land values down there. I was talking with this time with somebody online about this. Who was I having a conversation with this in? Oh, Rowdy Digital Images. He's been on the podcast before, and he's probably coming back again. But he was talking about he's close to Baltimore, Philly, and New York. Pittsburgh and DC are all within a 4 hour drive, and and the land values are fairly low compared to, trying to be right outside of DC or right outside of Philadelphia. So I don't know. It seems like I just see a ton of photography events there, and a ton of photographers and a ton of models in Eastern PA.
Yeah. Well, I'm focused on Western PA. So,
So spectacularly unhelpful is what I'm doing is spectacularly
I've been to
unhelpful.
Eastern PA a lot, and I'm a huge Philadelphia Eagle fan, so I'm not blind to Eastern PA.
All right.
Oh, but hey, now you didn't ask me how I come up with the name for Hot AF Model Weekends, but it's a great story and I want to tell it.
Well, I'm sorry. No, just kidding. Go for it.
So, how we got the name. I was actually at an event down at Scott Church's when the name came about. And I worked with a girl the night before at my Airbnb, and the girl did a little TikTok video. My nephew, he was like 12 at the time. He saw it on TikTok and he called me while I was at that event shooting with a girl. And he called and I'm like, I have to answer this. This is my nephew. And she just started to laugh. She goes, okay, yeah. And while she's sitting there with her legs spread taking pictures, he's like, you can talk to your nephew. I answer it and he goes, bro, I gotta tell you that TikTok. That girl's hot AF. He even texted me and said, dude, that girl is hot AF on his page.
My
And I
God.
hear Ian in the background go, don't tell my son, he'll block me. And he wasn't wrong. I did go in and find out who he was, and I blocked him. But that's
Yeah.
where we got the name from my
That's
12-year-old
hilarious.
at the time, 12-year-old nephew and his buddy, because
Oh
they
boy.
thought that girl was hot AF in that TikTok video.
And they was right.
Yeah, they were not wrong. So that's how that name came about.
That's funny. That's wild. All right. So why did you start running your own events? Shit, we got distracted. Did we cover that? Did you answer that? I think you did, because you said you were tired of driving to Eastern PA.
Yeah, we just kind of lumped it into another question, but I can elaborate a
No,
little more
no.
because there's more to that.
No, I'd hate to read. All right. Well, if there's a little more to it, yep, then let's go ahead.
Okay.
I will leave this embarrassing part in to explain why.
Oh, that's quite all right. No, really, the reason why I started to do it was we've already established I shoot for content and stuff. And I typically pay 90% of the people I work with. If I can have events and create a place for the models I work with to come in, make money on a day off of other people, then it's not like I have to pay them. Part of the deal to come to this stuff is you got to shoot with me while you're here without me paying you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a give and take, you know. If you want to come and make money at my event, you got to help me out so I can make money on the content side. And it's kind of a win-win for everybody. And yeah, that's kind of why I started it. I just wanted to be able to offer something other than a one-time pay.
Yeah, I find a lot of the events in the area don't have models that I'm terribly interested in. Although, admittedly, since I'm not doing it to sell content, I tend to be a little more selective and only work with models that I'm specifically interested in working with.
Oh yeah, that's I don't blame you at all there. I try not to always do that, but you know what? Blonde hair, blue eyes gets me every time. That's
Everybody's got their weaknesses.
yeah, and that is definitely my weakness, and I don't deny it, but
So what's your ideal size in your opinion for an event? Number of models, number of photographers. And do you try to match them one on one? Like if you've got 10 models, you try and get 10 photographers or whatever the number is.
Really, it kind of depends. Like, I don't want to say we're limited here in space, but I can't have 30, 40 people like they have at Scott Church's, you know. And I mean, that place gets way too crowded. That's another reason why I decided to do my own stuff, because the last time I was at an event there, it was too crowded, and it just wasn't for me anymore. You know, it just didn't fit what I was looking for. But I kind of try to limit it. I mean, we can handle 10 to 12 photographers with everybody having their own space. Nobody's tripping on each other. You know, nobody's going to be in your shot. Nobody's yelling at you, "Hey, I can see you. Hey, your flash is interfered." No, everybody's got their own.
I went to Mega Glam back in October, and I came back and found a whole bunch of people that I hadn't noticed in a mirror in the background. I was like, God damn it.
And yeah, that's one of the that's what I was at churches for, was one of those. And it's fine event. I didn't have a problem with that. It was just a lot of people go, and it was difficult to find spots. And I didn't like that people camped out in areas and set up shop, and they were there all day, and you were just out of that area. And yeah, it just wasn't for me anymore. Not that there's anything wrong with the event. It's a very good event. I enjoyed every time I was there, but I guess I evolved that there were other opportunities for me. But that was a great place to meet people and make contacts. It was very good for that. And yeah, so like the 10 to 12 photographers works good for me. And now if it's guaranteed to be sunny and everybody can be outside running around, we could probably do 20 easy. But I always try to think, well, what if it rains? If it's raining, I gotta have the ability for 20 people to shoot. And really, I can only do about 12 at all the inside things where everybody is comfortable and not stepping on each other. So that's kind of what I base it on. But you know, it just gives you options that way. And I probably think too much. I was told I think too much that way, but I don't know. I wouldn't want to go to an event and have it rain and 20 people all try to shoot in 15 spots, you know. It just wouldn't be cool.
I understand that.
I want to make sure the models make money. I used to just try to have like 5 to 7 models, but then a couple of photographers told me they would like to see more models. And I told them, well, if you want more models, you got to spend more money. And none of them seemed to have a problem with that. So this year, we're probably going to have 10 to 12 models here for the May one. And we'll see how it works. It'll be our biggest one. And at this point, we've got the most photographers we've ever had signed up. And I'm probably going to have to stop sign-ups before the event. So that's a good thing, I think. But yeah, so we'll see where we go with this one.
Because I don't know, on one hand, the having them match one to one is nice, but I'm just thinking back to when I went to Mega Glam last year and the year before. I didn't schedule myself for the entire day because I wanted to, go get lunch
Oh yeah,
and
definitely.
take a break. And if you're matched 1-to-1, it can get a little weird.
Yeah, and I tried to tell the girls that too, that it's hard to match it up because you're gonna get some guys are gonna come and shoot with three, four people. And then you're gonna get some guys want to shoot with everybody. And I don't know, it's a tricky balance. I haven't quite learned the balance yet, not gonna lie to you. It's a work in progress. So, yeah, and I take all suggestions. I may not agree with a suggestion, but I'm going to listen to it and put it in the back of my mind, But yeah, so we're going to try it this way and see what happens. And I'm always making adjustments.
So, how do you choose which models to bring on? Do you reach out to them? Do you put out a call for models and select from the ones that apply? How does that work?
Really, it's girls that work with me. I've had several models reach out to me and I want to come to your event. I want to come to your event. Well, I've never shot with you. I'm not going to have you here if I don't know you, because the models all stay here. They're in the apartment and they're in my home. Most of them get here Friday night, then they're here Saturday night, all day Sunday. Some stay Sunday night. Personalities have to match.
Took a look
And
at the
I'm going
town
to
on
have.
the map. It doesn't look like there's a hotel in that town.
Oh, no. No, the nearest hotel is 20 minutes away over in Punxsutawney. Yes, where the groundhog is. But no, in Mehapi, we don't even have a stoplight. So,
That's funny.
but that's part of the charm of the area. Nobody's bothering us here. And like I said, I own everything around me here. And the people I rent to, they know if you look out your window and you see something you don't like,
Close your
close
window.
the curtains or move. You have
That's
two choices. And they're told that when they move in. You
hilarious.
happen to walk outside and see something you don't think you should see, turn around, walk back in your house. And if you don't like it, pack your car. You don't have to stay. We all get along well that way.
That's
So
hilarious.
I tell everyone our entertainment when there aren't models in town is we walk outside and we kick stumps. So we're just stump kickers around here.
Whatever makes you happy.
Well, you either kick stumps or step in bullshit if you walk too far across the
I'd rather kick stumps myself, so.
road.
All right. How about screening photographers?
You get an open clean slate when you come. I've never had to, tell somebody they can't come back. Talk to everybody. I explain what we're about, what we do. Be on your best behavior. Treat people with the respect you want. Respect my place the way I would respect your place, and we'll all get along fine. Now, if you happen to do something here that's not acceptable, then I can't have you back. But I don't prejudge anyone that way. You got a clean slate until you put a mark on when you get here. So that's kind of how that works. Now there are some people I won't allow here because, well, they've just said some things about me in the past and they don't even know me. So, you know what? I can't say I won't let them come. They may have to pay double, but I'll keep an open mind because it all comes down to the money side, right? And but yes, we've never really had an issue that way. But if we do, I'll handle it because that's what I'm paid for. I try not to go by the rumors you hear because I've said my dad taught me this from the time I was little. There are two sides to every story, and somewhere in between those two stories is the truth. So just you got to figure it out on your own.
All right. Do you still attend any other events, or now that you're running your own, do you just basically just run with that?
Last year I didn't attend any. I would like to attend some again. I go down to like the HM photography things. I've become friends with David over the years. He's been nothing but great to me. He's one that introduced me to Patreon and stuff. Guy changed my life that way. And I'll occasionally, I've went to Orlando on one of his getaway trips before and stuff. So, I don't plan on going to a lot, but when I go, not if, but when I go, it's probably going to be HM events.
I've never been to an event like that, like a destination event. I was talking with, like I said, Pam Fields. I talked with her last week, although in podcast time when people hear it, it'll be a month ago. And she was talking about Shutterfest and stuff like that. So what are you specifically looking to get out of when you go to events like that? Because I just looked at his website and it doesn't look like it's glamour stuff. Looks like it's more generic general photography.
Who? HM? Oh no, HM
HM.
Glamour. Yeah, he's.
Okay, I must be looking at the wrong HM because if you search HM photography.
No, you want to look at David Moser.
All right, he came up first. Oh, okay, so if I go to Dave Moser, all right, yeah, so the first I go to David Moser, it does look there's a woman in a bathing suit on the front page. So yeah, that is definitely more on the but HM Photography Official on Instagram is totally not. It
No,
must be somebody else.
I can't. He's like HM Photography. Sometimes it's 6ix9ine. He's been kicked off Instagram several times.
All
I think it's
right.
David Moser is HM. It's something like that, but yeah.
No worries. I see it now. Like Epic Pool and Mansion
Yeah.
Shoot, Orlando Spring Event, Orlando Fall Event.
Yep. No.
Oh, it
Yeah.
looks like, huh. Oh, this is wild. A 14,000 square foot mansion. That's, I
Oh,
can't
it's.
imagine.
Oh, that place is something. I've recommended it to several people. It's, yeah, it's a good time down there, and yeah, you're not crowded at that. But
Yeah.
funny story on that, we were there, I think we were there like 4 days, and the last night we were there, me and the one girl that I'm friends with, and she comes here quite a bit. We were just walking around talking, and she goes, I wonder what's in that room. Is that a storage room or something? I said, I don't know. We opened up. It was a full arcade. We were there for 4 days and nobody knew there was a full arcade in the place. We were in there playing Pac-Man and all kinds of stuff.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, there's movie theaters in the place and all kinds of stuff. They have bowling alleys, all kinds of things in those places.
Interesting. That's wild. That is definitely a much higher end. I'm looking at it now. I see it was like $4,000 for four
It's not
days.
cheap to go.
Yeah, but it includes 6 hours of shooting. So he's doing the opposite of what you're doing. I'm basically just organizing you guys here and providing a venue, and you work with the model directly. And he's doing, nope, I am doing all of it prearranged and prepaid for.
Yeah, now down there, the prepaid for shoots are all just bikini. There's nothing more than that. If you want more than that, you have to pay.
Interesting.
So. Yeah. But it's kind of like a vacation. And yeah. That's how you kind of have to look at it. It's a vacation that you get to hang out with hot women.
I mean, $4,000 for 4 days is not the worst I've seen.
Yeah.
All
It's acceptable when you look at the company you keep.
right. As a photographer, how do you find these events? The reason that I'm asking is I've occasionally stumbled on a few on IG, but I haven't figured out like a solid way to find the ones that match my interests.
See, I don't know. That's I struggle
Oh no.
promotion it because really how I ended up going to the HM one the very first time was a model I was friends with reached out to me and said, hey, you ought to go to this. This would be great for what you're doing. And that's how I got there. Like the Mega Glam we talked about, a
Yeah.
girl I had shot with messaged me and said, hey, I'm going to this event. You ought to come to it. I went to two other events I've went to. One, I won't mention the guy's name because I do not like that individual. But a girl I knew said, hey, I'm going to this event. You should come. That's how I ended up there. Then another one down your way, Josh Triggs, he does events and stuff occasionally. And a girl reached out to me that was going to one of his and said, hey, you ought to come down here. This fits what you do. It would be great for you. And that's how I ended up there one time. So, really, the only ways I've ever went to events that other people put together is a model I knew was going and told me you should go. So as far as finding them, I don't know. Now, like me, I have an email list that I've accumulated over the years. It's a lot of photographers and members of Patreon and members of my website and stuff. And it's got close 900 people on it now, and I email alerts out on stuff all the time. And then I just put it on Instagram and things, but really it's the models that seem to be able to bring photographers.
Interesting.
And what I've started to do now is I give the models, if they get a photographer, they get a cut of the sign-up fee.
Yeah,
So.
I saw somebody recently asked me. I think last time I went to Mega Glam, I had a model ask me if she could, if I could be the person she was bringing, because I think there was, they said something about Stace Bernard was expecting them to bring a photographer or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect anybody to, but yeah, I have one model. She's gotten me several photographers for this event, and she thinks it's pretty cool because she'll just all of a sudden have some money in her PayPal, and she's like, "Hey, did somebody sign up?" I said, "Yep, they told me it was you." And like she said, "I can't believe these other girls aren't getting photographers for you because I like it. I'm making money for just saying, hey, you should go." But yeah, so I don't know what the magic formula is. If I could find it, I'd certainly use it, but I just haven't stumbled across it yet.
Yeah. Well.
If I do find out, though, I'll let you know.
Thanks, I
For a
appreciate
small
it.
fee. No, I'm just kidding.
Probably be worth it if it was a good method. All right, when you're going to event, how do you decide on how much gear to bring? Are you a pack rat? Do you load up like carts, or you go light and fast with like one light?
Yep, I travel very light, and actually I started using like LED lights that are always on, just
Oh.
instead of using flashes and stuff with those, because I can slap a couple batteries on them, take them, light it up. I'm not at events looking for, wow, that's a banger of a photo. No, I'm there more just to meet people, get to know them, get a shoot in that I can throw on my Patreon or something, but I'm not really looking for anything. I'm more just there to make connections. So I
Yeah.
travel super light because I've seen people like down at that pool shoot, the wind blew and a guy had everything fall over. He lost his computer, an expensive light, all kinds of stuff.
Oof.
Smash, crash, splash. And he was done for the
Yikes.
weekend. And I just don't want to, I don't want to have to carry stuff around, move around. Basically, when I go to an event, I take, well, I have a couple cameras in the car for backups, but I walk in with a camera, two standalone lights that I can carry around, and that's it. Because I like to move around and I just don't want to have to, I don't want to carry all that stuff.
Yeah, I like I said last time, again, I keep going back to the Mega Glam. I've been twice, and both times I brought more stuff than I used. I ended up just basically setting up one light with a whatever, sometimes a soft box, sometimes a strip box with wheels, and just rolling it around.
Yeah, a lot of steps there, though. So.
Don't remind me. No. Yeah, because a big part of it too is like I don't want to, like, if you have, 45 minutes to an hour with somebody, you don't want to like, all right, now I'm going to spend 10 minutes setting up my lights to get them perfect. And
That's exactly right. Where I can run to a different spot. We can shoot for 10 minutes, move to another spot in 30 seconds. I'm ready to shoot again.
yeah.
I just change my camera settings a little bit for where we're at, turn the brightness up or down just a little bit, and I'll make it go.
Especially since you're, oh, sorry.
I try to just find a way to make it work for that day. I'm not there saying, well, I have to shoot this with this and that. Nah, that's not what those are meant for.
Yeah, I'm definitely leaning more that way, the more experience I get, for sure.
See, I used to go to a lot of workshops down at David's, and he always laughed and he told everybody, he said, one thing about Jeremy, when he shows up with his camera in his hand and a bag of ice for the beer, and that's it. He doesn't bring anything else. I said, no, why do I want to bring a bunch of crap to your house?
Hilarious. And I also imagine for what you're trying to do and what you're trying to sell, like people aren't asking for, super complex lighting and perfect hair highlights and stuff like that.
No, that's just the stuff you post on social media. No, they're not there for your expertise in things like that. I mean, you gotta know how to do it, and but yeah, they're not there for that purpose.
All right. Well, with that, let's transition to kind of our final topic on the website and monetization. So you looks like you mentioned your Patreon a couple times, and I noticed something specific about your Patreon. One of your selling points, you commented about posting of unedited sets. When you say unedited, do you mean uncensored, or you mean like unedited straight from the camera?
They're straight from the camera. The higher up you buy,
Interesting.
you get them straight off the camera. You see what I see.
So people really like that?
Yes. Yes, they
Interesting.
do. I didn't know that. I hate to keep bringing David's name up, but he's been very influential for me. And he's one of my better friends in this. And yeah, he set me down at his place when I, one of the first times I was there. And I had a website, and this was before OnlyFans. And my website was like $10 to join, and you'd get some edited pictures and stuff. And he had seen it, and we were talking, and he said, "Why do you want me $10?" He said, "Your stuff's worth more than a Happy Meal." And I was like, "Yeah, never really thought about it." And then I got talking to him, and I got doing Patreon, and then I said to him one day, I said, "How do you keep up with all the editing for all the tiers?" He goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Like, how do you edit enough pictures to get?" He goes, "What are you editing for? These guys don't want to see your editing ability. They're not spending $500 and $1,000 to see if you edited a picture well. They don't give a damn about the edits." And that's when I found out that people really just want the unedited sets, and they want to see what you see. It's like that POV type feeling. They want to know what went on.
You
And
know, I'm sorry.
once I started to post the sets, a lot of the people that buy in and stuff, that's what they said, that they would much rather just see the set. They don't care what I edit. When they're spending that kind of money, they want to see what all went on.
So that is so interesting to me for a couple of reasons. Number one, I recently started selling Polaroids on eBay, and I did just something that I kind of tried at Mega Glam. Because I saw that somebody said they would sell, and they have sold a little bit, enough to make it worth doing in the future. But that's kind of the same feeling, because that's more the realistic versus the fantasy. Like if you consider like Playboy and Penthouse as like the fantasy, the super edited, super glamorous, super polished
Yeah,
versus
well, I
real.
mean, if you look at like OnlyFans and stuff like that, those girls aren't posting edited pictures. They're
Right.
posting selfies and things they're taking with their phones, phone videos, and that's what guys want. They want that personal feeling.
All right, so I'm gonna have to remember that because again at Mega Glam I decided to try and create some actual sets to sell on like Bentbox, and I've just been sitting there like going through and I'm like, oh God, when am I gonna edit these 50 photos from this one set? And I see now that I'm probably just doing it all wrong. I just need to export them and upload them and see
Yeah,
if
I
that
mean,
does anything.
it's worked tremendous for me, and what a time saver too.
I know, I know. I hate editing so much. It's my least favorite thing about this whole process. I don't mind editing a few for, social media and stuff and like portfolio, but yeah, trying to edit like 200 pictures, it's a nightmare.
No, that's not fun for anyone. Yeah, no, it's, and like I said, my members like it that way. Now, like, I do videos and stuff like that, and in the beginning, oh yeah, you gotta add music to the video, and oh, you gotta have an opening and this and that. Wow, did I get a lot of complaints over that? Oh, no, they did not want that. And one of my expensive high tier members said to me, "Hey, look, your videos are great, and you've got things that I've never seen anybody else have of girls, of certain girls and stuff." He goes, "But you got to stop that music shit." He goes, "I want to hear the slop and slosh. I don't want to hear that music." And so, yeah, I kind of found out, nope, that the less is more with that. The more you try to make it professional and stuff, they don't want that. Nope.
That's so
They want to
interesting.
see what you see. They want to feel they're right there. And yeah, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, 100% gonna have to remember that. Interesting. All right. See, this is why I'm doing this. I'm not, listeners, whatever. I don't care. Like, I'm here to learn. All
Oh,
right.
and yeah, I don't keep anything from anyone. I'll tell anyone anything because that's the only way I ever learned was people had to tell me. And yeah. And I don't listen to a lot of people, but luckily I listened to that day. And yeah, it's worked out well. But like the Patreon thing, if you looked at my page, I have a lot of tiers and a lot of really expensive tiers. And you're buying a library when you're buying the higher tiers and stuff. So you're not just buying a couple pictures. No, you're getting, if you buy the 3500 tier, you're getting over 1,000 videos and probably over 1,000,000 pictures. You're getting all kinds of stuff. So you're buying a whole library of stuff where, when you're editing stuff and trying to do videos, this and that, you're not getting all that. You're just not.
I guess that's the question. Like, do you want 10 or 15 edited video or edited pictures, or do you want 150 unedited?
And these guys, when they're paying the money that I charge, yeah, they want more and they want them unedited.
Interesting. That's so interesting. Awesome. All right,
But I'm
so
sold
oh.
on that charging more and doing that because, do you want your stuff getting given away? If you sell it cheap, nobody values it.
Yeah.
They're gonna give it to their buddies. They're gonna post it online. And you're just gonna get the standard thing that everybody does, where if you're expensive and you value it, and it's only certain people are gonna see it, it makes a difference that way. As it was explained to me, you're looking for the unicorns. You want the stuff that nobody else has. And really, the only way you're going to get that is if you're going to sell it really high that people like me can't buy it. And
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. And yeah, it works well that way.
All right. I'm definitely taking some notes. All right. So you mentioned Patreon a couple times. Now we talked about why you don't have an OnlyFans, but there's other options like BentBox and Minivids and stuff like that. Why'd you pick Patreon? All
Because you can sell a library through it.
right. So
Like,
it's your whole business model is a library rather than individual stuff.
yeah, I don't want to sell a set. Like, I've seen people with bent boxes. They'll sell a set for $15, $24. No, I'm not selling you my sets for $24. I'm just not. That's not what I do.
Right.
And I don't want everybody to be able to have it. Not that I'm trying to be rude, but that's my work,
Right.
and I value my stuff, and I value the models I shoot. I was just talking to a girl today about her OnlyFans, and she hasn't put it out to the public really, and she sent me the link, and I jumped on it, and I messaged her, and I said, "Girl, we gotta talk." And she was like, "Do you think I'm too much?" I said, "No, what's wrong with you? There's nothing of you out there. Why are you putting this stuff out there for $7? Stop it. Take it down. You can't do that. You're worth more
Yeah.
than that." And yeah, so hopefully I caught her just in time.
So what I find so interesting about the argument, especially around digital work, is that you're worth that, but on the other hand, the cost of the first person getting you to pose nude. Like the photographer in this instance is, 150 an hour plus. But then the incremental cost of the second person seeing you nude when the photographer shares it is zero. So it's such a, and I get why they do it. They're looking to sell it for as cheap as possible. Cause again, like once they've taken it once, they're like, oh, whatever, number two person paid zero for it, but they could pay seven.
Yeah,
So.
see, I look at how I explain it. Are you Walmart or are you Louis Vuitton? Well, I don't want to be Walmart. I mean, I don't want to be Great Value. Don't get me wrong, I got Great Value noodles on the shelf behind me here. And Great Value's fine. It's got its purpose. But I always want that high end, you want that Louis Vuitton wallet, Yeah, so wouldn't you rather be that? Like Quentin, his dream car right now is a GTR, and he's telling me he's 15 now. I'm getting a GTR when I'm 16. I said, what's one cost? About 150,000. Well, dude, you're gonna have to win the lottery. And I said, because you're gonna drive that Chrysler that's sitting in the garage out back when you turn 60. But yeah, not everybody's supposed to have a GTR. That's what makes a GTR so great to have, And yeah, anybody can have a Kia. Well, I don't want my stuff to be a Kia. I want to be a GTR. It's just all how you want to. I don't want to say it's your personal value, but I don't know. I value people more than I value 10 bucks. Not anything wrong with 10 bucks, but yeah.
No,
And
it's interesting.
I got a good $10 story if you want to hear a $10 story.
I don't know how much is it worth. tell me the $10 story.
Well, here's one. And I'm not ashamed of anything I've done in life. I'm not one of those people. They say everybody has skeletons in their closet. No, I open the door. I let mine run free. It's what it is. But years ago, I knew a girl that ran a strip club and stuff, and they had male dancer day, and she needed more male dancers. And she was like, I need you to come dance. And I'm like, I can't take my clothes off on a stage. And she's like, oh, you'll be great at it. And somehow she talked me into it. So I end up in that club and I'm dancing on stage and I got my G string on. And girls are awful in these. Okay. I mean, I'm sure you've been to strip clubs. Guys can't touch the girls. You do, you're getting beat up, you're getting thrown out the door, you're landing on your face while you're banging off the steps. I'm there, and this girl jumps up, reaches up, opens my G string, reaches in with a dollar bill, and grabs a hold. And I said, I don't think you're allowed to do that. And she's laughing, her friends are laughing, and she reaches down and grabs a $10 bill and sticks it down in there with the other hand and grabs a hold. And I look down, and I said, you know what? For 10 bucks, you can do whatever you want.
You figured out how much my price is.
That's right. So, now we have to figure out my limitations. And I've already said, you can do whatever you want for 10 bucks. So I guess I value these girls that I take pictures of more than I value myself, but that's okay,
I mean, that's fairly typical for a lot of people, I think. They tend to undervalue themselves. I mean, you're just talking about that girl on OnlyFans. She undervalued herself.
Yeah, I don't know. I see these people as worth more than that. But yeah, so there's my $10 story. So
All right, we are getting close to the end. I wanted to don't want to ask. So I did want to ask one more question before we moved on to the final questions. So one of the advantages of Patreon you're talking about is it's A, more like a library, B, you're not selling access to people for a very low price. But how many sets do you think you really had to have to make the Patreon worth it? Like, is it 50 sets? Is it 100 sets?
see, I asked that in the beginning too, and it was explained to me, why do you have to have a number? You're the one who decides what your stuff is worth. You might have one video that you think is worth $2,000. That's what it's worth. There isn't a set number. It's what you think your stuff is worth. That's why I keep adding tiers, because the more stuff I put in, I look, For a while at $100 tier, I looked into one time and there was 100 models in the $100 tier. Well, that's not enough. That's way too many. So I had to move them out. I mean, that's just too many. You know what I'm trying to say? It's I was undervaluing myself then.
Yeah.
So as I keep going on, yeah, I don't want to be Sam's Club, you know, where you go in and volume buy cheap, but
Yeah.
really you're volume buying and it is cheaper when you really break it down.
Yeah.
But that all just depends on what you feel something's worth. Because I struggled with that in the beginning. I was like, man, I only have this much. I only have this. I only have. And it was explained to me, it's worth what you decide it's worth. There isn't like a checklist guide that you buy every month that says, oh, hey, this model's worth this price. No, you decide what it's worth.
All right. Well, I think that gets us to the closing segment here. So, and some of the feedback I got last year, I had somebody suggest that I ask guests on the podcast to recommend other photographers and models that people should follow and or work with. Who have you worked with that you would recommend that listeners to the podcast follow and or work with?
I will go with Brittany Myrie, and she has a YouTube channel. And yes, I can say sleeping with Brittany, that's a lot of fun. Yeah. That is her YouTube channel and what it means. She does these here like Reiki things, and then she does ASMR or whatever that is, where you're supposed to fall asleep to sounds and stuff like that. But yes. Britt Myrie, great to work with. Chloe, I can't remember what she changed her name to, Chloe something, but it's People's Champ. Great to work with.
Is that People's Champ on IG?
Yeah, and it's with a Z,
People.
PPLZ, then Champ, I think with two P's at the end. She's great. Amelia Forte, A Forte on Instagram. Love her. Kieran James, great. Yeah, there's lots of them. It's hard to pick. Like Ashley Fink's been a favorite of mine for years, but our personalities match, you know. And that's a lot of it for me. If I can sit and have a conversation with you and our personalities match, yeah, you're great for me. And but yeah, just a lot of them. And they're all on my website. All the models I work with are on there. And I don't want to say I rank them by my favorites, but I might rank them by my favorites on the list there. So, you know, when you're looking down through, you're going to see, you know, and that doesn't mean the ones at the bottom I didn't like. It's just, yeah,
Will
sometimes
say that,
personalities don't mix.
yeah, I will say that I really liked your website where you had the list of all the models you've worked with on the front page and linked to their IG.
Yeah, yep.
So
I
that is
didn't
super
link them
helpful.
all. I linked some of them, but there's so
Yeah.
many. And I got a little lazy, but yeah, I mean, you got to show who you work with. And I don't trust social medias anymore. G's have been kicked off of several of them, so you can lose that in the blink of an eye.
I've definitely noticed that social media has got me in contact with some models and photographers, but it doesn't really seem to affect the downloads on the podcast very much. I'll wait a couple of days after the podcast comes out and I'll put up a social media post saying, you know, the podcast is out, go here and link. And there's no appreciable increase in downloads from that.
Now, see, that's what like my nephew and I have a little YouTube channel, Spending the Day with Q and J. And we interview models that are here and stuff like that. And yeah, that's how we are. He thought he just couldn't wait till I put it on my Instagram that's got like 28,000 followers. He was like, man, we're gonna get so many views. I think we got three.
Yeah.
He was like, this sucks. I'm like, it's just how it
It's
works, man.
especially when you're in a niche like this. Like the only way you can get a ton of downloads with a niche like this is if you really lean into the horny side of it. And
I think, yeah.
yeah, and I've definitely heard from the people that actually really listen to the podcast and really care about it. They're like, no, we're not interested. Like focus on the business and the photography side. And also looking at the metrics, I found that a lot of people that find the website looking for the horny stuff. I had a model on, I don't remember what her name was. Someone I interviewed in season one, She got me hundreds and hundreds of like search results because people were looking for her name plus an SFW, but they only stayed on the website for less than 5 minutes because all they cared about was nudes. They did not want to listen to a podcast. They didn't care about the content.
Yeah, pros and cons, right?
So I've decided to stick with the smaller niche audience, but that are a lot more passionate and don't listen to 5 minutes and leave.
Yeah, and I didn't know, things like that mattered until we got to doing that little YouTube channel, and Quentin was showing me, dude, they're only watching like 2 minutes. We got to be more entertaining in the beginning so they watch it. And so yeah, I've been learning a lot about that. And yeah.
Well, I hate all this social media stuff. Hate it with a passion.
But it's a necessary evil. I mean, in
I
the
guess
business
so.
I'm in, it is. I have a lot of models who complain to me, I hate IG, I hate IG, I hate Twitter, I hate or X or whatever it is. And I said, hey, just swallow your pride and roll with it because it's a necessary evil. It's their platform. They'll run it how they want. You have to follow the rules. You don't have to agree with them. But if you want to do this, you kind of got to be involved in it.
Speaking of, have you found any of the social media sites to be really good for finding people, or just Instagram?
Really, I just use Instagram a lot.
Gotcha.
Like I
All
said,
right.
I get so frustrated with that X. I just can't. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Jeremy, do you have any projects you'd like folks to be aware of?
Well, we do some artwork and stuff that's for sale on the website. I don't know if you saw that on there or not, but.
It did. That was one of the questions we didn't have time to get to. So I'm
Oh, okay.
glad you mentioned it.
Yeah, we let the girls lather up in paint and then they whap their boobs and whap their vaginas down on some canvas, and they are one of a kind prints, and they are the there's no recreation of it. It is the actual print of it right there. And yeah, sometimes there's even remnants of things that remain in the paint, but we're not going to talk too much about
Oh
that.
my. Oh boy.
And yeah, so they're on there, and go check them out because some of them are pretty detailed. And they're interesting, and they make for great shower videos to put on Patreon. So, hint, hint.
That's interesting. All right. The Hot AF weekend. Do you think this podcast is going to come out on April 1st? Do you think signups will be full?
Well, I would hope, but I don't anticipate it. No, because you always hit that lull where when you first announce, people sign up right away. Then you go through that lull, and then you get to where it's getting close, and then people who waited, yeah, I'm gonna go. Yeah, I can see that that's actually gonna be the lineup because, as you know, the lineup always changes.
Yeah.
You're gonna get people bailing out, and then you replace it. But once you get a little closer, then it seems to settle in. But yeah, and I haven't ever told anybody, no, you can't come. And I say I'm gonna limit, but boy, if you hold that sign up fee in front of my face, we've already established I can be bought for $10, so I'm probably not gonna take that sign up fee down.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right. All right. Well, where can everyone find you online?
Well, you can find me at artisticedgerjc.com. You can find me on Patreon, that's artisticedgerjc, and on Instagram, artisticedgerjc. And we also have a Hot AF Model Weekends page on Instagram. And yeah, I have a lot of pages on a lot of different things. I don't stay real active on all of them, but I try to stay active on the Instagram and Patreon. I'm always active on, and I keep the website updated. So yeah, those are the places to really find out what's going on event wise and stuff is the website, and sign up for the emails because I send out five, six emails a month, and that's how you get the heads up on things on those.
All right. Awesome. And with that, we are done. You can find us at the nsfwphotographypodcast.com, on Twitter as at nsfwphotography, Instagram at the nsfwphotographypodcast, and we have a Mastodon instance at nsfwphotography.social that is dedicated to new and adult photography and is currently pissing me off because I tried to upgrade it last weekend and broke it and had to go back to a backup. It's definitely
Oh,
being a pain in the butt, but hey, there's very little moderation and content censoring there. But the downside is very low discoverability. And finally, subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
everything takes time, right?
Yeah, everything takes time.